just want to help you tonight with the word. Help us all. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. If you were not here Sunday morning, we had a wonderful service Sunday morning, and I encourage you to go to the podcast and catch up with our undercover lesson series. Everyone needs to hear that. And then, of course, the second hour, the blessing of obedience. And I know that it will transform your mindset and your life if you will allow it to, not because I preached it, but because God gave it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 22 and 1 says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." And then skip to verse 9. It says, "And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord came unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And then Job 1 and 18. Says this, "While he was yet speaking of the servant, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." And then just a portion of 2 Corinthians 10 and 12. The end of that verse, it says, "They measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." And tonight, I want to encourage you tonight with this message that is simply titled, "Different Test, Same Answers." Different Test, Same Answers. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for your will and your way. Lord, your word is so perfect. It is so timely. It is so right. It's always exactly on time. Lord, I pray right now that you would touch the hearts and minds of your people, God, that you would encourage us all in the spirit tonight. Lord, that you would let this word take residence in us, Lord, that it would settle deep within our souls, and that it would encourage us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Why don't you put your Bibles down and put your hands together? Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. You may be seated. Different test, same answers. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10 and 12, they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Now, from a very early age, we learn to observe what other people are doing, what other people have, what they don't have, what they have that we don't have. We learn very early. It doesn't take children very long to get the concept, or at least try to get the concept of fairness. And it doesn't take long really for us to realize that in life, life is not fair. Everyone has their own set of blessings and their own set of struggles. Every individual, when you look out in this parking lot and you see somebody drive up in a new car, and maybe your car is not as new, and it's easy for us to compare ourselves, but you don't realize what that person is dealing with. They may have a new car, but they may be dealing with sickness, or they may be dealing with other issues. Sometimes you see people with a whole lot, and it just means they have a whole lot of bills. And so it's easy for us to say, well, hey, I wish I could be them. But if you were them, you'd realize that they can't make ends meet. And it's no fun to live that way. The pressure of it is no fun at all. And so sometimes we look at other people's situations and we compare them to our situation when we really don't have all the data. We don't have all the information. You know, the old cliche, the old proverb is that you have to walk a mile in someone's shoes before you understand how they feel or what they're dealing with. And so it's very easy for us as human beings, it's natural for us to compare, especially when we're going through things that are very difficult, when we have stress upon our mind, upon our heart, when we are maybe not feeling well physically, or we're struggling financially, our job is not going the way it should, or our business is not going the direction we would like for it to, or there's just issues that we're dealing with, and we try to compare our issues to other people's issues. And if we're not careful, we will allow that to affect our desire to keep going, our willingness to worship, our desire to keep moving forward in life. But I tell you tonight that the Bible says that that our days are short and they're full of trouble. It rains on the just and the unjust. Everyone in life are going to have good days and bad days. Some things are going to be caused by just circumstance. It's just going to happen. You know, you just never know. You wake up that day and you think it's going to be a normal day, and then the car won't start, or the kid's sick, or your spouse is not feeling well, or the call comes in from the doctor and gives you an adverse report on your health, or your job calls you in and says, hey, we're downsizing. We're going to have to lay off some people. We're going to have to set you aside for a little while. And you don't know what is going to happen. Life is short and full of trouble. There's tests. You have tests and I have tests. And some people have different tests than others. As I mentioned in prayer requests, my sister and my brother-in-law are going through a very difficult test. It's a test that I hope I never have to take. It's a test that I don't want to know the answers to, really. It's a circumstance like we read about tonight in Job that you just can't imagine. Your mind just, if you got that kind of news, what would you think? What would you do? And then there's a minister that we've been praying for, his son. His name is Brother Schroeder. The son's name is Luke Schroeder, and he's had severe seizures over the last 6 months. Just terrible. His father pastors somewhere in Illinois. And just terrible things have been going on. He's been close to death numerous times. And then last week, they finally did this last-ditch effort surgery where they went in and they took out part of the brain that they thought the seizures were coming from, and this was going to help him. And their life over the last 6 months has just been a roller coaster. You know, they get news that it's encouraging and it's going to be better, and then it happens again. And so as of Tuesday, they thought, well, this is going to help, and he's resting, and it's going to be good. And then Wednesday morning, the seizures hit again. And so today, they had to make the terrible decision to remove the life support. And last I heard, he's still holding on, but they had The parents had to choose, had to make this decision. And it's a test I hope I never have to take. And so all of us have different tests, you know. I don't know what yours is. You know, yours is different than mine. And I've been blessed, and I've had a wonderful life, but it hasn't been without test. And we have people here. Brother Tolson has just went through a terrible test just 3 or 4 years ago, and now, you know, the everything's looking great. But you know, you just never know. You just never know who is it going to be next, or what's going to be around the corner. Anything could happen. And so the tests are very, very different. Your tests are not my test, and my test is not your test. And so we have to realize that life is different for every person. And so the tests are different, you know. You get all these different tests. I remember taking in school when they first came out. Of course, that's how old I am. When I first remember, sometime in high school, they came out with this kind of test. We called it Scantron. I don't know. They still call it Scantron. Anyway, or you'd fill in. Of course, you know, when you didn't really know the answers, you just kind of got creative with it, you know. A, B, C, D, E, you know, you just kind of zigzag. You're hoping. You're praying. The Lord is just revealing to you the letters, you know. I'm sure on some of those tests that I took, you know, the standardized tests that really weren't for your grade, they were just trying to see where you were. I guarantee you, I skewed the percentages all across. It wasn't because I was so good on it. It was because I was just guessing. Just, you know, you're just making designs after a while. After 2 days of that stuff, you know, you're just guessing. Anyway, but every test is different. The answers, the questions are all different. Your questions are different than mine. You know, today you may go through one thing and I may have a great day. Tomorrow may be my day to have a test. I don't know. And so here we have this contrast of these two men. They both had tests, but they were very different. They were similar in one way, but the end result was very different because Abraham had a promise. His promise was that he was going to have a son. And in his later years, he finally did have a son. And God said that he was going to choose Isaac and he was going to bless the world through this son. And he was going to make him a great nation, and he was going to bless all the generations that were to come through this boy. But the test was this. The test was, I want you to take your son. And then he didn't stop there. He said, your only son. I want you to take him to a mountain that I will show you. And I want you to go there with the wood, with the knife, with the fire. And I want you to offer him as a sacrifice to me. What a terrible test. What an amazing process that had to be going through Abraham's mind, that he was there to offer his son. And so he woke up that morning. The Bible says he woke up early. He gathered the stuff. He took his boy, and he was headed there. He got to the base of the mountain where God had showed him to go, and he said for the servants to stay there. He said, me and the boy are going, and we're going to go worship. And so about halfway up, Isaac was a pretty smart kid. He said, hey, Dad, getting a little nervous here. You know, that's just my PKS version. Get a little nervous here. I see the knife. I see the fire. But where's the sacrifice? And Abraham, in his wisdom, he didn't say, hey, you're it. he actually spoke in the prophetic, and he said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And it was more than just a ram in the thicket, but he was prophesying that Jesus would be God himself, the sacrifice. Amen. But we get to the top of the mountain. He builds the altar. He ties his son down, and he gets all the way to the point of lifting the knife. And God allowed that to be the end of the test, and he gave him an A+. He said, wait a minute. Don't touch your son. Don't harm him. Don't do any more. I want you to stop because now I know that you would offer me anything, that you would give me anything. Now I know that you would offer me all that. That was his test. It was very different than Job's test. Job was waking up on just a perfectly normal day. He didn't realize everything in his whole life was about to change in a matter of a couple of hours. Just, he woke up. The Bible says he would sacrifice for his children every morning. He'd worship God for them. And here comes a servant. Comes over the hill and he said, "Hey, I was out there. We were tending the flocks. We had the camels and the herds, and there they are. And they came down and they took us. And here I am. I'm the only one to make it back to tell you. They're gone." Then another one, another herd. They're gone. All of his wealth gone in just a few moments. And then over his shoulder, he could see another servant coming. You know, bad things happen in threes, I said. That's what I've always heard. But he saw this servant coming. And the worst news of all, said, "Hey, I was at your son's house. They were all together, all your sons and your daughters. And there came a wind from the wilderness and hit the four corners of the house and just, it killed all of them." Wow. How in the world could you handle the news? Lost everything. Lost everything. And now you've lost your children all in one fell swoop. Just boom. It's a very different test. "Have you considered my servant Job?" God told the enemy. The enemy said, "Yeah, I see him, but you won't let me touch him. That's why he's worshiping you." He said, "All right, I'm going to let you have him. You just can't take his life." And here this test comes, this ultimate test. It's very different than Abraham's test. Oh, it felt the same at the first, but the result was different. His son got to live. His son got to go back down the mountain. His son got to see the miraculous provision of God as he provided the ram and the thicket, and they sacrificed and they worshiped together and God blessed it. And he got to see the miraculous and hear the voice of God. And all this stuff was just amazing. It was a different kind of test. And then Job, he had a terrible test, an ultimate test. He lost everything. And I'm sure if Job would have wanted to, he'd say, "Hey, Lord," and he looks back from eternity and says, "Well, that's not fair. That's not fair. You let Abraham go through the motions and he didn't have to kill his son. And then you take all of my kids at once. It's not fair." So the tests are very, very different in our lives. Every one of us has a different set of circumstances. Some of you have great home lives when you were growing up. Some of you didn't. Some of you come from a home of parents that have been married for years. I'm blessed to have parents that have been married for 55 years, 56 years. Somewhere in there, I've lost count. And what a blessing that is. Some of you have gone through multiple step-parents. Some of you are married. Some of you are single. Some of you are young. Some of you are not so young. Amen. Praise God. Some of you are very healthy. Others have pain in their body tonight. Some of you had an easy time getting to church. You had plenty of time. You didn't have to rush. You're here. You're relaxed. Others hurried home, hurried to get the kids ready, hurried to get in the car, hurried to get here. Some of you got good news today, and some of you got bad news today. Some of you tomorrow will have a wonderful day, and others will have a perfectly rotten day. Amen. Our tests are different. They're different. But I have great news for you that you don't really have to study, because the answers are the same. Now, how can that be? Wouldn't that be lovely when you were going through school that every test was different, but the answers were the same? Then you could use the Scantron and you could just memorize. You know, you could make up a little song, whatever, you know, every good boy does fine or something like that. You could, whatever you needed to remember how the letters went, you could make up a little song, you could make up a little anagram, you could do something to help you remember the answers. Wouldn't that have been wonderful? We had all been A students, 4.0, you know, scholarship. We would have been amazing. If all the tests were different, but the answers were the same, we would have aced it. And so I have good news for you that in living for God and in life, the tests are all different. Some are harder than others. Some, naturally, are easier than others. Some are shorter than others. Some are longer than others. Some last a long time over a course of months or years. Some people struggle with their test. Some of you tonight have been struggling with the same test for a while. Maybe it's a health issue or an emotional issue or a mental issue. Whatever it is, you've been dealing with it. Others, they have little short tests, and maybe some of your tests are short as well. But here we are. We have the same answers. And I will give you the answers tonight to the test. We're going to cheat on all the rest of life's tests for the rest of our life. And you can remember this night on Wednesday night, the 24th of January. I'm getting old. I had to look at my phone and see what the date was. It was the 24th of January. You can look back on this night and you can realize, hey, I am going to pass every single test because my pastor gave me the answers. And they're not real hard to remember. Notice I just qualified that. They're not real hard to remember. Sometimes they're hard to do. Right? It's my little analogy about how I golf, you know. I know what to do. I just barely seldom do it. And I definitely don't do it consistently. Amen. Praise God. Don't look up. And, you know, keep your eye on the ball, all that stuff. I know that, but I don't do it very often. And so here we are. The answers to the test are very easy to remember, but they're not always easy to do. But these men gave us the answers, and all we have to do is apply them to our life. Okay? Answer number one is to trust God. It's not hard to remember, except when you're in the middle of the test, right? We love the little story about the disciples getting in the boat and they're out in the middle of the water and everything. They're tossed and turned and about to die and they get scared. And I've told you this many times, but God just inserted this little caveat in there. He had the rider just, I want you to drop this in there, okay? So here they are. The rider's telling us the winds are fierce, the waves are high. They're thinking, they're going down. And he inserted this little caveat to the story. He said, they forgot the miracle of the loaves and the fish. Now that's so strange. This is wind and waves and a boat and sinking and drowning, and the Bible inserts that they forgot the miracle of the fish and the loaves. You know why the Bible inserted that is because the miracle that Jesus performed for the loaves and the fish was just as hard or just as easy as saving them from drowning. And so trust is easy to remember that we should do it when the sun is shining. It's easy for us to remember tonight on Wednesday night, the 24th of January, that when something happens tomorrow or the next day or next week or next month or next year and something tragic happens in our life and a test is being given, it is easy for me to say tonight that you need to trust God. But write it down somewhere, put it in your Bible, stick it in your purse, put it in your pocket, whatever you got to do. But just tell yourself, the next test I go through, I am going to trust God. Because guess what? He is your Father. He is your God. He is your Savior. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but He wants all to come to repentance. And so whatever you're going through tonight, whatever you're going through tomorrow or next week or the next week, God is faithful and you can trust Him. Amen. Clap your hands. You can trust God. If you have to deal with death in the family, trust God. If you have to live with being laid off from your job, trust God. If you have to deal with your relationship going south and you're struggling to make it by every day, just trust God. Amen. I'm amazed at the people when they go through a test. Their first response to the test is to stay home from church. What are you doing? Why would you stay away from the place where people love you, they pray for you, they give you good counsel, they give you Bible strength and anointing? I mean, it's like having a terrible sickness and saying, hey, I ain't going to the doctor. It's like somebody having the cure and you say, oh, no, I don't want the cure. It doesn't make sense. Don't stay home from church when you're going through a test. Don't separate yourself from your pastor. Don't separate yourself from your brothers and sisters. Don't separate yourself from God and His church. And I have news for you, and this is not in my notes, but I have news for you. There's a thought out there that you can love God and serve God without the church. That is a lie. Amen. Now, I know this building is not the church. I know that this concrete is not the church. But I will tell you that God came. He robed Himself in flesh. He walked on earth. He died and suffered and bled for the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Come on now. This is His church. You can't love the head without loving the body. Jesus is the head, the church is the body. You cannot say, hey, I don't need the church, but I need God. That just doesn't even make sense. Amen. Praise God. If my wife decided that she really liked my big head, but she didn't want my big body, our relationship wouldn't last very long. Because I can't breathe. I can't walk, I can't talk, amen, without my body. You gotta take it all together, and that's the way the church is. Jesus Christ is the head, and the church is the body. So don't separate yourself from the body by believing the lie that you don't need the church, because that's a lie. Anything that is cut off from the body will die. Amen. Praise God. That was good preaching. Amen. So you've got to trust God. That's the first answer. Psalm 18 and 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and are safe. Psalm 37 and 25, I have been young and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. You can trust God. Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy pass. Trust him. Trust him. Amen? Trust him. You know, the Bible says that that you can trust him because he is working out everything for your good. So when the storm comes, when the sun rises, when everything's going your way, when everything seems to be going against you, when the enemy's fighting, when the enemy's silent, it doesn't matter. God is working for your good. As long as you're called and love him, you called according to his purpose and you love him, then he is working for your good. Everything that seems good, everything that seems bad, you can trust it. And so that's the first answer. Trust God. He never fails. He never fails. The second answer to the test is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Amen. Romans 4 and 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And then verse 17, you're familiar with this part, this portion. As it was written, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and called those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, whom he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. Everybody say faithful. Being fully persuaded that he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. The second answer to all the tests is faithfulness. Get up, brush yourself off, and do what you know to do. Oh, well, I don't feel like going to church. Well, I didn't say anything about feelings. Well, I don't feel like singing. I didn't say anything about feelings. I don't feel like worshiping. I didn't say anything about feelings. I'm talking about faithfulness. Faithfulness is not feeling. Faithfulness is doing what is right. Walking in the direction you're supposed to be walking, even when everything seems to be going against you. Faithfulness is being at the house of God every time the doors are open. Faithfulness is fulfilling your area of responsibility even when you don't feel like it. Amen. I have news for you. I'm your pastor and I love God and I love you. I love church. But there are times that I don't feel like being here. Yea, even tonight. As I sat in my office on speakerphone with my brother-in-law and sister, them sobbing where they couldn't even speak. Me trying to find words. I didn't feel like coming here. I didn't feel like ministering to you. I needed ministering too. But guess what? Faithfulness overrides feeling. Amen. Faithfulness overrides feeling because God always blesses faithfulness. He always recognizes faithfulness. Matthew 25 and 23 says, and his Lord said unto him, this is the parable of the talents, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Well done. He can't say well done unless you have done well. And he will not call you faithful unless you have been faithful. My heroes in my life are faithful saints of God. Every time I see those that I know are going through a tough time, they're going through a struggle, and I see them come through the door, and they put a smile on their face, and they put a kind word for somebody else, and I talk with them, and they're asking me, well, how is so-and-so doing? Or how? And they're worried about somebody else, and I know that they're taking a test. They're taking a test. It builds my faith. Amen. I love faithful people. So the first answer is trust. Trust God. The second answer is faithfulness. And the third and final answer to every test is worship. Worship. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He worshiped. He charged not God foolishly. He just worshiped. Right here in this little statement, it really answers all the questions. Trust, faithfulness, and worship. So whatever the test is, whatever you're going through tomorrow, next week, maybe you're going through something tonight, whatever it is, if you will apply these three simple answers to all the complexities of life. Job said later, he said, I have looked before me, behind me, to the side, I've looked all these places and I cannot find it. Lord, I don't know where you are. Have you ever felt that way? I have. You're going through a situation with yourself or with other people and you're trying to help them navigate it. And I've looked and I was like, Lord, I can't see you in here. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're trying to teach us. I don't know what the answers are to the specific questions these people have. But Job said this. He said, you don't know, or I don't know where you are, but I do know one thing. I know that you know where I am. Now that's trust. That's trust. So what are you going through tonight? Are you struggling mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually? Is your marriage on the rocks? Are your children are struggling? What is it? What is it? It's a test. Storms of life are raging. You may not even be able to put words around what's going on. Have you ever done that? You know, you try to tell people, and you're like, I feel like this, and it just seems like, well, it doesn't even make sense. I can't wrap my mind around what I'm going through. But you know you're going through it. But whatever the test is tonight, the tests are all different. Your tests are not my tests. My tests are not your tests. But the answers are the same. Just trust God. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Trust him, because he is trustworthy. Then the second answer is be faithful. Just be faithful. Even when you don't feel like it, even when it doesn't seem to make sense to your logical mind, just be faithful. Just get up and put one foot in front of the other. Just drag yourself to the house of God. If you can't get here by yourself, call somebody. The Bible says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Sometimes you need a friend. Sometimes you need a brother or sister to help you, to strengthen you, to give you a pat on the back or maybe a kick in the seat. So make the call. Be faithful. Amen. Be faithful. Because you can't be called faithful if you're not faithful. And then learn to worship. Learn to worship with a knife when you have to sacrifice. Learn to worship when all seems lost. Learn to worship when the sun is out. Learn to worship when the sky is dark. Learn to worship on the mountain and learn to worship in the valley. And I guarantee you that if you will do that, you will survive this life. And more than survive, you will thrive in the kingdom of God. Because the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He has come that you might get an F on your test. But oh, when you trust and you're faithful and you learn to worship through every test, even he has to recognize, hey, Job passed. Job passed. I took away everything. I took away his health. I sent friends to bring him down and to accuse him and to talk down to him, but yet he stayed faithful. Amen. This test is temporary. Let's stand. Your test tonight is temporary. Just trust God, be faithful, and learn to worship. Worship through the pain, through the rain, through the struggle. Amen. Oh, can we lift our hands and let's sing this unto the Lord tonight? Jesus.